Welcome to Conversations with the Masters with your host, Master Certified Coach Mary Allen. This special interview series is designed to enlighten and empower you by bringing you the best-selling authors, speakers, and organizations of our time. So get ready to listen not only with your ears and mind, but with your entire being. And now, here's your host, Mary Allen.
Welcome, everyone, to this Conversations with the Masters call. I'm your host, Mary Allen, author of The Power of Inner Choice, and I am so excited about being here with you today and Dave Pelzer. Dave Pelzer is the author of 7 inspiring books, including A Child Called It, which has been on the New York Times bestseller list for more than 6 years. He's one of the few authors to have 4 number one international bestsellers at the same time on the New York Times bestseller list. 2 of his books have been nominated for the Pulitzer Prize. He's received commendations from 4 U.S. presidents and a ton of awards for his public service, including the National Jefferson Award, California Volunteer of the Year, 10 Outstanding Young Americans, which, by the way, people like John F. Kennedy and Christopher Reeves have received. And in 94, he was the only American to be honored as the Outstanding Young Persons of the World. Very nice. And kind of fun, since we just had an Olympics, to know that in 1996 that it was Dave that carried the coveted centennial flame for the Olympic Games. If you've read Dave's books, you know that he didn't exactly have a Leave It to Beaver type childhood, at least not after his first 4 years. He nearly died several times by the hands of his mentally disturbed alcoholic mother, and it was later determined that his case was actually one of the worst child abuse cases in California at that time. And we'll soon hear about how at age 12 he was finally rescued and placed in various foster homes and then joined the Air Force and somehow ended up writing a book about this and becoming, you know, one of the most prolific authors for the last 20 years. So, Dave, really great to hear your voice after reading you for the last many weeks. I feel like I know you, but now I know your voice.
It's a weird anomaly because I am a very private person, and, you know, I travel a lot, and I just came back from overseas in Iraq and did some work with the troopers there and did some comedy and counseling. But it's like you never – there's an old saying that man plan and God laughs.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just don't know where life's going to take you, and it's just an honor to do certain things. And I never expected – any of this, and it's kind of overwhelming in a way. It's a lot of responsibility, and when I first, it made me a little duressed that I couldn't get arrested with all the accolades and all the work I was doing behind the scenes, but once I became a New York Times best-selling author, then I was somebody.
Right.
I don't like that, but it's what you do with your message. It's what you do with your restaurant or what you do and how you raise your children, in a sense. And, you know, it's an honor for me in so many ways. And, you know, I'm on the back nine of life. I'm middle-aged. And, you know, I'm just trying to not to screw this up, man.
Well, it seems like it would be kind of hard for you to screw it up at this point.
Oh, man, you'd be surprised. I'll say this to the good audience now, but I get in trouble every time I go to Seattle and say, ladies. Or if I say the word, God bless you, boom, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Get over yourself.
Well, you know, and I think because you have had so much success that it makes you, unfortunately, a target.
Yeah,
it makes you a huge target.
It's huge because, I mean, they can look it up or Google it or something like that. It was many, many, many years ago. It was insinuated that I wasn't Dave Pelzer. I'm a Jimmy Fry. I made it all up. My books were never on the list. I've never served in the Air Force, blah, blah, blah. And I'll talk to these people that insinuate, and one person said, Dave, you have to understand this is a business of entertainment, and they don't want to see Jimmy Olsen save an old lady from a fire. That doesn't make news.
Yeah.
But if Dave Pelzer abused a kid or Dave Pelzer did this, oh, that's the sex that sells. And
right.
So I told the person, listen, I'm so boring for you.
Right. It's just like your background wasn't interesting enough
with
all
of these. I thought it was, to me, it was never a story about abuse, but a story about, You know, everybody comes from somewhere. Everybody has a challenge, an obstacle. And that's why I think we love the Olympics, because people don't know this, but our good friend Michael Phelps had a love, and the love said, it's either me or swimming. And Michael said, don't do that. You know, I've got a gift. I want to use it. And she even called him a loser. Or we forget, and it wasn't really nationalized, but our good friend Dora Torres, you know, well, how come you didn't get the gold? Well, she swam with a bad shoulder, kids, and she injured her pinky to the point, I mean, she had to be in a sling. So point being, that's why I think we embrace the Lance Armstrongs, the Oprahs, the Schwarzeneggers, and so forth, because everybody has a situation or a problem. But it's what you do with it. And sometimes I'm not trying to overtalk here, but I think challenge is good.
Right.
You see people that had cancer, and they're so happy to be on Earth. Every day they say, oh, my God, it's a blessing. Or even right now we're all celebrating in the streets because gas is down $1.38 from the record high. Woohoo! You know, so sometimes challenge is good. And I never saw myself as a victim, but I just did what I had to do. And, you know, where else but this country of ours that you can get some help and find your solace and hopefully move forward and become a stronger, better, happier, productive person.
Right, right. Well, and so, you know, even just starting with the whole kind of victim thing, because a lot of people do end up feeling like a victim.
Well, it's a mindset because, you know, I study my psychology. I'm very good at what I do, you know. But the brain works in two ways. It works in forward. You know, I'm moving forward. I'm losing weight. I'm saving money. I'm productive in some manner. I'm planting trees. I'm doing the laundry. Or it's either stuck and or reversed. And unless we replace that habit with something positive, that's why I do a lot of speaking and training, you know, in-service training. And I say, okay, folks, if you can survive cancer, can you survive the flu or a cold? Well, yes. I mean, I've never met anybody who says, I'm a victim of cancer. They say, I'm fighting the cancer. I'm living with the cancer. And there are victims out there. If you are a young person and you don't have a lot of assets or a lot of things in your corner, you are a victim of a genocide. You're a victim of a war. You're a victim, let's say, of child abuse. You might be a victim of spouse abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you grow old and as you grow wise or put more tools in your arsenal of democracy, you know, I mean, I'm a hugger. I cry. I'm very emotional. But I don't really embrace someone who says, Dave, I'm 60 years old, and my pappy abused me once for 10 minutes 50 years ago. I was a victim. I'm going, yo, Jethro, slow down. Jethro, this happened 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And you spent more time and energy.
Right.
And imagine saying that to a kid dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I only gave you 50 years, man. Or to my troopers, our troopers overseas.
Right.
Say, you've only got 50 years to live, brothers and sisters.
Right, or somebody who's 30 and loses a spouse.
What's sad? And everybody I talk to, and this is a perfect example, everyone I've talked to, ma'am, has been so emotionally connected to Bernie Mac. I say, Bernie Mac, and they start to well up. Why? Here's the sentence, America. Bernie Mac died at age 50. Bernie Mac dead at age 50. 50.
Mm.
Holy cow, I'm 47, I'm 36, holy cow. Tim Russert, I'm watching, I'm a political junkie, and I have a radio show. We have a section called Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail. I wish that Tim Russert, Mr. Square, Mr. Down the Middle, Mr. Walter Cronkite, was there for both those conventions. I miss Tony Snow. I miss these people that die way, way too early. There's an old saying that the streets are heaven and filled this evening with too many angels.
Mm.
And it's what you do with your time. And you know, I came back from overseas, and four of my friends passed away in 3 weeks.
Mm.
And I've been to a funeral for a friend one too many times.
Ah.
You know, and it's like, what's the issue? What is this issue in your heart about your sister, or God forbid, that divorce? I talked to a friend of mine. She'd been divorced, and I don't want to make anybody cry. But she's been divorced now for 28 years, and she talks about her kids, and you can hear it. Dum, bum, 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 bum. Oh, let me tell you about my ex. No. All that venom, all that energy, all that loss of love. And I go, Sandy, now how long were you married?
Eight years.
How long have you been divorced?
36 years. How come I can't get a date?
I don't know.
Maybe I let go of this one.
I don't know. You see, I mean, think about that, because at middle age, for me, it's about time, energy, and time, energy, and love. We're all busy. I'm multitasking here in the office, and we're doing things and stuff like that, and I'm a single mom, and I drop off the kid and pick up the dry cleaning and go to soccer practice, or I'm a CEO and I got to do this or that, or, you know, you have to manage your time in college. You have to manage your time as a parent, as a Samaritan, as a lover, as all the hats that we wear.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you want to, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I'm sorry.
Mm.
If you're working through a quantum of solace, I love those words, quantum of solace, work through it. Laugh about it, cry about it, but you know what? I tell people, remember the good times. You know, you guys grew apart, and, you know, unless there was deliberate intent, you know, things just sometimes happen.
Yeah.
And you want to put good things in your basket. My mom was very beautiful. My mom, I really think, wanted to love. But unfortunately, she was abused in an era that women didn't have any rights. Women were treated. It was men, dogs, and women in Salt Lake City in the 1930s.
I grew up in Salt Lake City, huh?
Scary, scary, scary. And she was abused. Keep, shh, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about it. Shh, keep Pandora's box closed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you couple all this bad stuff in your heart, the confusion, the loss. You know, you can't do with anything. And then you put an alcohol in the mix, you know, and you know, the fit, per se, will hit the shan. You know, I'll say this, America and world at large, cancer never sleeps.
Mm.
Cancer may be dormant, but cancer never sleeps. And, of course, she had her frustration, and then she gave birth to three babies in less than 4 years in the late 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at postpartum depression, shall we?
Yeah.
It's like you add up all these things, all these elements. Now, you can go out there and say, why did my husband leave me? Or why was I abused? And let's go on a crusade. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's ride our horses for 400 years and go on a crusade. Or, maybe you're at the gambling table and say, you know, I lost 10 grand. I can't keep doubling down, and I'm just going to have to push myself away. You know, and push yourself away with positive or happy thoughts. I think, anyway, it's worked for me. But, you know, I might be a little off my rocker here.
Well, so what do you do in situations, I mean, even recently, I mean, four friends passing away or, you know, the
you
York
know
Times,
learned,
they write something bad about
I was,
you.
I learned that Father Lincoln here in the Coachella Valley is just an icon. He's just, I just love this man so much. And he says, I love funerals.
Mm.
And we're looking at him going, what's
what?
It? He says, I love funerals more than weddings. I'm going, because I am a sap. I love weddings. I love looking at the bride and the family. And, oh, it's so beautiful. You're just like, I love to be in love. It's like, oh, my God, share the love.
Mm.
And he says, I love funerals because it's your chance to say goodbye and know that your friend, that your love is home and he's safe, she's safe, and they'll never be in pain again.
Mm.
Isn't that great when you're never in pain?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to just cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a saying. I remember I was doing a book signing, and this guy was kind of like, well, he was abused, and, you know, he keeps tripping over his own shoelaces and blah, blah, blah. Dave, say something in two words that will change my life. Usually I say, grow the hell up.
Mm.
You know, but I knew the man was in pain. He was in pain, and he just couldn't figure it out because some people don't see what's right in front of them. It's like those old Star Wars things. Use the Force, Luke, the power of the Force. But they don't. But I can't see it. Touch it. Taste it. Smell it. This is why you fail. And I remember I just kind of found some solace, and I said, okay, Jethro, here it is. Two words, and I'll give to American world at large. Here it is. Write this down. There'll be a test. Be happy. Huh?
Mm.
Be happy. Three words. Be happy now.
Mm.
Huh? How about forward? Shall we go before? Let's double down. Go before. Be happy now. Damn it. Because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, okay, the dry cleaning, the cable's out, and gas is going up, blah, blah, blah. What's your problem?
Huh?
What is your problem?
Right.
Rudy Giuliani, his code name is Captain Courageous, by the way, for those who work in the ops, he said, you know what, 9/11 wasn't the worst day because it brought us to our knees, but we didn't buckle, and it brought us to our sense of reality. Huh.
Huh.
You know why 9/11 was important to all of us? Dry cleaning wasn't important on 9/11.
Yeah.
You writing that check for $200 to get those Jimmy Choo's wasn't important. Johnny Nee's braces. Our girl might be, per se, pregnant. Gas is going, No. 9/11 brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of the family. Take care of the kids. Mary, you okay back there? How's it going? It's going. We'll pray for you. We'll unite. We'll band together. We'll do something about this, but let's call in the family. Let's dig in. Let's hunker down. This is 10 fingers, 10 toes.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, really
negative.
The man
being smacked around for 12 years or so, 8 years of those first 12 years, wasn't bad. Because, Mary, I'll say this, I didn't talk for many a year. My mother did not allow me to communicate in her house. When you swallow ammonia more than once, you're not supposed to speak forever.
Really?
Oh, ma'am. I remember being in foster care at age 14. Everybody thought I had cerebral palsy because I would talk, like, I would stutter so bad. And I try to communicate with my hands, like try to mime words. And my foster mother, God bless her, you know, foster parents are just horrible, horrible people, you know, horrible people. My foster mother, God bless her, she said at age 14, you're going to have to learn your ABCs. And that's not fair. That's a good lesson to learn. Life isn't fair. At age 14, I would learn to speak, and I'd watch what how people would communicate. Their body language, 70% of all communication is nonverbal. You know, and now I can do, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I've decided to not become the president of the United States, but master of the universe. I will get the terrorist, but not with the Jackie Chan and Bruce Willis, but the ultimate American weapon, Kathy Lee Gifford. I was at the convention with Hillary, and I got to, I feel her pain so bad. Now you boys listen to Uncle Bill, but girls are nothing but trouble. They will kiss and they will tell. They will trip you up and feel your pain, fella. Shall we go on?
The lesson is,
write this down, American world at large. Challenge is good.
Challenge is good.
Challenge is good. Challenge is good. And don't waste your time on going to these master motivational weekends and walk on coals and burn your feet and that smells. Look into yourself.
Yeah.
Ask yourself some questions. Take some time. Be still. Remember the old philosophers back in the Eastern world? Yes, ho-ho. Be still. Find your solace. Clean your house. Clean your mind. Clean your body. Be still. Be alone. And say, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
What makes me have to pay? Hello? It's not the first sink. No. No. It's not the Lamborghini. No. It's not HD Blu-ray DVD. No, no, no. It's you.
Right.
If you're happy with $5 and you find another $20 in your pocket, aren't you happier?
Mm-hmm.
If you're happy being alone, you can survive by yourself. And, oh, my God, look at her. Look at him. Oh, my God, he's so dreamy. Oh, my God, she's so hot. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Duh, duh. If we can pay $5 a gallon of gas, now we're paying $3.85. Hercules, Hercules.
Let's get excited. I know I get excited every time I go buy that.
I know.
Buy a sign. It's like, look, it's down another 2 pennies. Awesome.
You know what it is, too, and I think part of it is, and I, you know, there's a lot of mindless mumbo-jumbo, but some of it rings true.
Yeah.
Some of it rings true, and they talk about, you know, as you grow older, we did a study that came out late last year talking about our World War II veterans.
Mm-hmm.
World War II veterans just now tapping into themselves because they were designed to shut down. You're in the machine, you're in the war, and you don't open up because you see all your buddies killed in front of you. Normandy, Iwo Jima. I mean, I can't imagine. And I've been to war more times than I can spell. I've seen death. I've smelled death. I've touched death. I've been to Katrina. Oh, my God.
Right.
But I can always punch out.
Well,
Take a shower. So I'm saying these men are just now starting to release themselves and find their child,
mm-hmm.
find their happiness. And maybe I didn't have, per se, a childhood as a young person, but now I'm getting all excited about Quantum of Solace, James Bond, coming out this November. Oh, my God, I'm going to have a nice dinner tonight. Oh, my goodness, tonight I'll have a cigar. Oh, my God, I'm going to spoon with the one I love, or my kids are coming home. Oh, my God,
right.
Seinfeld's on. I love Seinfeld. I mean, you do little things every day. Work hard. Know where you're at and know what your mission is.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I didn't say jobbity job, America. What's your mission?
Mm.
Can I give a lesson here?
Sure. Parents, why don't we throw one in here?
Yeah. Parents, your job as a parent is not to raise children. Your job as parents is to raise responsible, happy, productive adults. That's your mission.
Mm.
Your mission. It's the same result, but I want you to look at it just a little bit differently. You don't have a job. You have a career. I was in Baghdad a few years ago, first time, and I went to a MASH unit, and I got a little emotional because I saw some things and so forth, and Dave addressed the troops. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on the verge of crying here, people. Don't make me cry. And I said, folks, this is not a war against terrorism as much as it is a campaign for humanity.
Mm.
Little things can make a world of difference. So you find your solace. You find out who are you, what you want to do, And you don't want to lose 5,000 pounds overnight, because if you lose it, you'll find it. You don't want to have an on again, off again relationship, you know, the consummated at a bar and then break up a few days later. Why don't we go low and slow, just like that golf swing? You keep it low and keep it slow. You keep your butt in the air and your chin down, and you just keep it low and keep it slow.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I think the same thing our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents still rings true. Common sense makes sense.
Yes,
any questions?
It does. Definitely does. Well, I know you were just in Baghdad recently, and my older brother's a major in the Army and getting ready to go back for a second tour in December. I'm curious about what was the message that you gave them there, and what do you think about just the progress that's being made over there?
Well, you know, it's weird because I have my fingers in many, many dikes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm a former military man, and, you know, I used to do a lot of work for the Air Force because I'm an Air Force boy, and the Army asked me to kind of come over there and check things out and do some calming counseling. And I'm proud to say that I was outside the wire, as we say, outside the wire.
Outside? What's outside the wire?
The wire. That means you're not in the green zone.
Ah, that's like the scary zone.
You and your choppers, and I felt like dun 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 dun.
Oh my!
Choppers, and we're it's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're in the middle of a desert doing some things. I'm going, where's my latte? Where's Starbucks?
Right.
And then you get to talk to troops, and it was kind of neat because in some awkward sense, a lot of the troopers know who I am, and they say, oh, do the Arnold voice, or do a voice, or something like that, or make us laugh. And you know, you bring some solace to them. You get to see what they do. You get to observe what they do and praise what they do. And I'm an action boy. I'm an action junkie. And it's just, you know, here's the thing. Whether it's the war overseas or the war in your heart, things take time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one's talking about this, and I wish I was. I'm not as smart as Tim Rosser, no way. But I wish I was smart. I'm a little obtuse. But, ladies and gentlemen, we can look at it this way. Saddam Hussein was stage 2 cancer.
Mm.
He was. He was a wuss. He was a wuss. When you bomb women and children with chemical weapons, you're a wuss. You're not a nice guy. You got a problem with me, come to me. Talk to me. You talking to me? Talk to me. I was not worried about Saddam Hussein. In the first war in the Gulf, he actually had his people recruit people to the front lines and didn't give them shoes, and if they hesitated, they would shoot the parents or shoot whoever. They always shoot the males first.
Mm.
So I was worried about when Saddam Hussein passed away, whether it be by natural causes or lead bullet from his good son, Uday Hussein. Fine Samaritan, Uday was. Great guy he was. Yeah.
Mm.
And then once Uday took control, and he would take control through a civil war, just you know, as instantly as possible, he would have gone most likely to North Korea. He would have bought some stuff at Kmart, Walmart, some WMDs, and dispersed them to Syria or Iran, and then we really would have had a problem. But like all stage 2 cancer, you go up to your page and say, listen, this is gonna hurt. It's going to take a few months or a few years to get you back online. But if we can work through this, you'll be a better, happier, stronger person. And let's look at the sentence, American World at Large. We have a democratic society in the Middle East. We have a democratic society in the country of Iraq. Another way of looking at this is you and I are married, Mary, and we're in a bad part of town, and these gangsters keep coming by our house and stoning our house and egging our house and setting our grass on fire. Now, if we move, will this stop the bad guys from moving in, yes or no?
Probably not so much over there.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. So the bad guys will take over one house, one block, one grid, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some things take time, and then you look at the numbers. The bombings are basically down. It depends on your numbers. Some people say at least 60. Some people say as high as 87%. The bombings are down.
Mm-hmm.
The IEDs are down. There's less troops being shot and so forth. It's almost like Katrina. The first 3 or 4 weeks, we don't even know what the hell is going on because God, in his swath of destruction, you know, wiped out the country the size of Peru. And we're used to, like, cities and blocks, some 2 or 3 cities at a whack, not the country the size of Peru. So you try to get a handle on it, and once you get a handle on it, and the first thing you do in war, and this is unclassified, is you basically try to annihilate your enemy. Number 2, you provide security. Number 3, you rebuild. Number 4, you withdraw. We're on phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
We're on phase 3. Now, have we made a lot of mistakes? Yes, we have. We're working with an entity that we're trying to teach these third graders. These folks have a third-grade mentality. It's a lack of education. Saddam Hussein brainwashed them. And this is unclassified here. But Saddam Hussein, for the last 18 years of his dictatorship, I'm the president. Yeah, sure. Did not invest in his infrastructure. No plumbing, no wiring, no for the oil refineries, the grids, electrical grids, nothing. No hospitals, nothing.
Mm.
So things kind of have a tendency to, if you don't go to the dentist, you're going to lose a tooth. If you don't put oil in that car and change that oil, you're going to have some problems. Don't rotate those tires. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're in the middle of all this trying to get things together. And it's what I'm trying to say, Mary, there's a lot of common sense entities that we're trying to put in there.
Right.
At the same time, we're trying to teach these third graders calculus.
Mm.
And they're not exactly into algebra.
Right, right, right.
So we're trying to do all these things. We're trying to hold the borders with Iran and Syria, unclassified. The bad guys come down from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to stabilize because that makes their country a little bit more better. And I told you so, I told you so, that stick in the mud type thing. We're trying to introduce them to something called internet and DVD. Oh, well, here's something that they've done. You know what I love to see? And I'm sure I have a photo here somewhere. But I love to see girls skipping to school. And you see little girls in Baghdad skipping to school while wearing juicy jeans listening to Hannah Montana on their iPods.
Wow.
We do that all the time. Shushy shush. Girls in Baghdad are not allowed to go to school.
Oh, wow.
Shh, shh. And wow. The last. Shh, shh. So imagine a few years later we have over 5,800 new hospitals we've built. Imagine girls
50
going to school listening to Hannah Montana. Woo-hoo.
Wow.
Wow. So the difference is being made. And every time you go to the doctors for therapy, oh, man, I've only stretched my leg just a quarter inch more. But I say, son, last year you couldn't even move it a centimeter. Now you've got 3 inches of extension. You stay with the program. It's going to be a hard road. You've got the care, the slack. But you know what? You are going to get better.
Yeah.
Stage 2 cancer, American world at large.
Mm.
We can communicate on a vast amount of plethora of information here, Mary. Plethora.
Right. So what was the one message that you left the troops with there?
Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
That's the one thing our Vietnam veterans used to say to each other, and they did not get a lot of respect. And you know what I love about America is that a lot of people are no one's for war. You see, that's the thing. No one is for war.
Right.
You know, people. Oh, no. You think I want to send my son, my daughter, my friend, my cousin overseas? No one does. But maybe a lot of people per se don't agree with the war or support the war. I understand. But everybody, whether it's the left or the right, at either side of the scale, I'll say this: these people, God bless them, they support our troopers, and that means the world to them because they say, Dave, tell them, don't forget us.
Yeah.
And some of these troopers out there for 15 months. 15 months,
mm-hmm.
Doing the deed every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I flew over there, and I got to tell you. I'm going, who in the hell would want to live here? Look at this place.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's moments in which we're on this block and we're trying to assist, our job's to assist. They used to come to us, get us water. We'd get them water. Now we're telling them, no, here's a shovel, dig the well, here's how you filter it, you know, teaching the fish type thing. And that's hard, that adjustment phase. And so I'm at this one station, and we see these kids down the block, and they always say, Mr. Football, it's Mr. Football, shock a lot. And I have a backpack, and I've got like 20 pounds worth of candy. You know, and once you give them candy, the floodgates just open, you know.
Mm.
And this little kid comes up, and he gives you the thumbs up, you know. And, you know, here's some trivia for you, folks. Iraq loves TV. They love cable. The number one show in Iraq is, of course, Oprah.
Oh, wow.
It's Oprah's world. It truly is. Love the Oprah. Number two is Dr. Shrill. I'm sorry, Dr. Phil.
Oh, my.
Internitis. Don't say that. It's okay. Dr. Phil knows this. He likes this. I have more hair than Dr. Phil and a better sense of humor. Number three is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No.
I swear to you, I got it on the
phone. Oh.
Taking a survey.
Oh.
Number four is The Ultimates. The Ultimate, because I'm a man of action. 24 is a lot to me. And that means the number four show in Iraq is Jack Bauer and 24.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting. Tell him I say, now, you know that Jack Bauer's against terrorists? Yes, Mr. Dave, terrorists very bad. Extreme Muslim terrorists? Oh, Muslim terrorists very bad, Mr. Dave. Not good at all. I'm going, okay.
Oh, my.
It's interesting, and I got to eat dinner at an Iraqi compound, and I talked to an old general, and he was actually, I think, a major lieutenant colonel. He was one of the ones that flew. They didn't fly that much in the first war in the Gulf because we shot them all down. And with the fact that we can communicate and talk about romance of flying or pushing things to a limit or about families. I mean, I got to meet this man, 20 years later? And it's amazing. You know, again, man plans, you know, but God will laugh.
Right.
You know,
right.
And oh, my gosh, you know, it's you never know where life's going to take you. And that's what I try to say, too, is like, look what we've done on the show, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about a lot of things. We've been all over the map.
Right.
You know, and there's positive behind our voice, and we've got a lot of good information there. And you shotgun things. It's almost like, don't do drugs, don't do drugs, don't do drugs, don't do, okay, I get it. And
yeah.
People don't listen. But
you've
got to open your heart, and you got to receive things, you know. And sometimes you got to, you know, I tell my parents, you got to break bread with your kids. If your kids are in the bedroom and they don't open up the door and they're being butt heads, you kick down the door. What are you doing in my room, Dad? It's not your room. You don't pay the mortgage. Shut the hell up. Now you're going to go outside and listen to your mom. Mama knows best. And you're going to wear more clothes than Britney Spears. You're not going to have bad language. You're a Nazi. That's my job. And when you have your own children, you can be a Nazi too. And I tell people that...
Is this what you recommend?
I recommend that all the time. I say, you go in the kitchen. Why? You break bread. There's no bitching in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take yourself off your parental pedestal and talk about, you know, I don't understand like these new groups and all the swearing and the rapidy rap cipher M&M, okay? But, you know, when back in my day, oh, my God, when they weren't in rehab, the Bee Gees were, like, really jiggy.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself with a human face.
You're listening to Conversations with the Masters with host Mary Allen. Mary Allen is a pioneer and leader in the coaching industry and author of the life-altering book, The Power of Inner Choice, 12 Weeks to Living a Life You Love, available everywhere. Visit lifecoachmary.com to download 2 chapters for free and to find out about other coaching services designed to enlighten and empower you. And now, back to our Conversations with the Masters.
It seems like it's flipped a little bit parent-wise, and it used to be that discipline and, I mean, when I grew up, it was, you know, we had rules and boundaries and,
well,
you know, you didn't come home late.
Well, it's always the teeter-totter. Then now, we followed the kids. Now we're going back.
And
I mean,
now it's like fully, it's like what the kids want to do, and it's like, oh, you know, kids don't want to, you know.
Let's look at it this way.
They
want to
dye the hair purple. They want to, I mean, whatever they want. They get to do.
Here's a question. And the 5 billion years we've been on this planet, do parents get it right? We're to this, we're to that. I think Chris Rock said it perfectly. I love Chris Rock. He's just such a beautiful, smart man. He says it, and I'm going to say it like Chris Rock would. Everybody got a gay uncle. Everybody got an alcoholic aunt. What's your problem, America? All right. Look at America's new superstar, Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Superstar extraordinaire. Well, Sarah. I have here... Your husband many years ago was arrested for DUI. Yes, next, what? I have here. Pregnancy results of your 17-year-old daughter. Yeah, so what? I have here. You have a baby with Down syndrome. What's your point, butthead?
Right.
I mean, I think with someone like Sarah Palin, and she says it, whether she's a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, I don't care. The fact that she wants to do something, she's not sit on her can-can,
right,
and do the status quo, and she says without saying it, this is my family unit.
Right.
Love us, hate us, accept us, whatever. I love my little daughter with Down syndrome. I am disappointed in my teenage girl. Yes, that finger is going to be waving in her face. But you know what? We're going to welcome another baby into our world. My husband made a few mistakes, but he don't do that no more.
Right. I so appreciated her authenticity and, like, yeah, give her another 4 years, she may just be president.
Man, wouldn't that be hot? I mean, my God.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Well, hey, Dave, I
do a lot of political stuff, and I have a radio show, and we goof on people, and we did a segment on Hillary Clinton when she saw Dick Cheney months ago. There's Dick Cheney. He's the Darth Vader of politics. And I said, what would happen if the two of them met? Hillary, I'm your father. Check your tax funding. Talk to Norman Sue. You know this to be true. Join us together. We can rule the universe as father and son. Because Hillary's thing, and, you know, and my job's psychology. It's what people say and what they don't say. And I never saw Hillary with a lot of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just didn't see it. It's almost like, you owe me. I was married to Bill, and I took care of this and took care of that. And in the background, somebody's going, I'm next. Somebody's like, I'm next, Mommy. I'm next. No. Obama connected with these people.
Right.
Obama,
I totally agree.
Obama story. And you want that personal connection.
Exactly.
And then with McCain, Aiken for McCain, he reminds you of the old GOP and Bob Dole, do your homework and be absent,
right,
and take your medicine. And then you got Bill Clinton, hey, have all the Haagen-Dazs you want. You don't have to study tonight. It's okay. Free love. Have a good time. Woo-hoo! Because America wants it now. We want our DVDs, Internet, Blu-ray, now. We want to charge things to the hilt now. I want satisfaction, sexual gratification, whatever, now, rather than courting.
Mm.
Whatever happened to courting? Do we call that stalking? I have a young intern, Iris. And I love, and she will never be courted. She might be stalked, but she'll never be courted. Times kind of changed. And because of McCain and the Palin ticket, it really grounds things. It really makes us more human. It makes McCain more human, because I was not exactly excited when I first heard of Sarah Palin. She only has 18 months leading.
I know. That
was foreign policy experience. But I'm going, whoa, now that I've done my BI, my background investigation, there's something to this girl.
Right. Boy,
that might be the one thing, and the person I love, too, and I'm not talking politics, I love Cindy McCain.
I do, too. She's just she's radiant and authentic and a giver and a contributor to the world.
I love, I've been part of the press. I mean, I've been beaten up and part of the press. I love how they let's get together and say this about someone. Cindy McCain's a Stepford wife. Look at her. But then when they investigate her, oh, my God, has she put her life at risk?
Yeah, boy, and adopting.
To be a nurse, to help children in harm's way, has she put her life at risk several times? Well, you know that McCain had an illicit affair when he was in Vietnam. I think he was kind of locked up. And if you look at the age difference, you know, it was sad when they finally broke the story that came out this year, not 4 years ago. I think Cindy went over with some gal pals, and they said, this is not right. We're taking these children. We'll adopt them. We'll do the thing. Cindy gave one of the children to her best friend who wanted to adopt the child. She stepped off the plane. John was there to meet her. Well, who's this little person? This is our new daughter. And John says, so it is. You see, character, America, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Character. Where are you at? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? It's not going to be an easy road. If it was so easy, everybody would do it.
Okay.
And they're only trying to tackle you, America, if you have the guts enough to carry the ball. If you're a parent and you have a teenager, you're supposed to be the Nazi. If you're a young adult, your sole job as a young adult is to get the best education you can. When you show up for work, you're there to make a difference. Whether it's a war on terrorism overseas, your past war on terrorism in your own heart, you're there to push the agenda forward. Are there any questions?
Yes. So there's three things I want to hope we cover before the top of the hour. One is for people that don't know any part of your story, that haven't read your books, you know, you come across as, hey, you know, this guy, first off, he's funny, you know, he's got a lot of great wisdom and so forth. But what impressed me most, because I hadn't read your books when I first heard you speak at Mark Victor Hansen's Mega Book Mart.
Mark Schlichterheim.
That's where I first heard you, and I was like,
boom.
And when I read your book after.
And I have to stop you for a second, because Mark's a dear friend of mine, and I love goofing on him. Chicken soup for the Amish Amway salt.
Yes.
Write that down. But Mark's thing, and I love Mark, and Mark does a lot of things to help people out, but I kind of come in there and say the opposite of what he's saying. Did you get that?
Well, so two things I want to really speak to. Because we have a lot of coaches on the line, people that are aspiring authors, people that, well, like myself, who have a book, but it might not be in a fraction of the bookstores. So maybe to speak a little bit to that, but then also just to share a little bit about your background and what you went through, because I think when people don't, you know, it's like, okay, child abuse. It's like, well, how bad was it? It's like, well, if you haven't read the book.
Well, let's just do
maybe
a quick
just share a few highlights of those.
Let's do a quick sit rep. Bottom line, like we said before, imagine being stabbed below the heart and no medical treatment, not being fed for 14 days, swallowing ammonia and Clorox. We can go on and on and on. That's not the issue. The issue, like we said before, the first part of the hour, is that everybody has a situation, everybody has a problem. And if you can fight cancer, if you can go through that bad divorce, then you can't per se do anything. And psychologically, we find out if kids, because kids think in concrete terms, can work through their solace or their situation, they're actually stronger as adults. Hence, Arnold, Oprah, Lance, are we learning yet?
Right. Well, and can you take us back to the moment, kind of like one of those first defining moments for you? It's like your mom put your arm over the...
A first defining moment in what area?
You know, where you really, like, had this, it's like sort of your indomitable human spirit you first
I think
really
part of it was, I always knew as a kid, you know, it was always that sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
That you know something wrong. And it's not normal for a child to be locked in a basement, not allowed to walk, talk, or breathe without anybody's permission. But I think when I was about eight, and my mother held my arm over a gas stove for a very long time, and afterwards I'm licking my arm, and I'm trying to figure out, I didn't do this, I don't force him to drink, this is not my fault, I didn't do that. And then it's like you feel the burn in your arm, and I said, oh my gosh, if I can feel the burn in my arm, I'm alive, which means I'm not dead, which means, oh my gosh, if I can work through this, I'm going to be okay. You know, and I remember as a child, I would count backwards from 60. And after 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes was horrible, but not as bad as the next 5 minutes.
Oh.
You know, it's almost like, you know, we drive around our Humvees and MRAPs. Hey, Pilsner, were you bombed today? Day's not over yet. You know, we were bombed maybe 80 times in one day. Now it's only 30. That's a little bit better now, isn't it? So you kind of have to hunker down. What did Clint Eastwood say in Outlaw Josie Wales? You got to get dog mad. You got to dig in your heels, and sometimes you snare and flash your teeth, but you got to dig in and dig in and fight for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do as a parent. You see, you're not there to be your kid's best friend. Okay, that's what you do when you fight cancer.
Right.
You run the race. You care about every step and how you move your arms. Look at Michael Phelps. That man, I can't believe it, I've never seen this before. He had a wake. Look below his lower back. His lower back just above his butt bone, and how the water just spills over. And the way he cups that water and moves his pinky and moves his chin, or how his eyes are open or not open. Everything he does has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like the golf swing. You look at Tiger Woods. What you heard about that? Oh, my God. It's like listening to Yo-Yo Ma. Please, America. See, some people make things look easy. Everybody says, oh, Dave, you got a great life. I'm probably one of the most unusual people you ever meet.
Right.
But
well,
you
and
know
it's
what?
The.
I try to do a good job. And at the end of the day, I'm pretty happy with myself. And, you know, you just try to do things.
Well, and they kind of kid about you being an overnight success.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah, I'm going, whoa, you obviously are obtuse.
Well,
illiterate.
And for those that haven't read, I think it's your third book that really talks about where you're still in the Air Force, married to your first wife.
Yeah.
You write the first book, and it's like you're doing all this volunteering. The first couple years of you speaking and getting your book out there, like, nothing happened, really.
And it wasn't about the book. See, a lot of people think about the book. Lance Armstrong says it's not about the bike. When I teach publishing or writing, the book's the pinky.
Yeah.
And you, in the middle of the palm, that's you. Look at Schwarzenegger. You know, when everyone says, oh, he came over and he made money in the Terminator movies. Arnold came over and learned how to speak English. And was taking two different degrees at the same time.
Huh?
While he had a business in construction, a masonry business, bodybuilding business, and selling some bodybuilding stuff, and trying to break into acting. Oh, my God. He was a multimillionaire before,
mm-hmm.
I think, Conan the Barbarian, because he bought all the real estate. Da. I mean, look at the guy. He's multifaceted. All these people are successful. It's not the one thing. But it does kind of pile on. I was working in law enforcement. I was a counselor in juvenile hall. I was doing in service training for teachers, foster parents, social workers, state, federal, and local levels. Whew. I was in the military. I did military work. I did leadership training. I talked to youth at risk in high schools or junior highs. Whew. And then with the accolades, it kind of gives you some notoriety. So I would, let's say an AT&T would hire me to talk about leadership and resolve because I know something about that personally. And then the foster parents have you come in, and then juvenile hall wants you to come in, or the mayor wants to meet you and talk to the police, and there's a military bear 20 miles out of the way. This year I'll be on the road about 328 days. My average work day is 16.8 hours a day. Jack Bauer. Listen, America. Listen. 24. When's the last time you gave the love of your life 24? When's the last time you worked a full shift without whining or complaining, and you gave me your absolute best? Gave yourself your absolute best. When was the last time you were just a good parent for 24 hours? Then do it tomorrow and another and stroke, 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 stroke. Michael Phelps, baby.
Mm. Well,
you can always tell people before they give up. They telegraph it to their brain. Their body will respond to the telegraph. If you look at A Child Called It, it was never written by a 32-year-old counselor. as much as it was written by an 8-year-old male. And every word, I mean, there's not one word over three syllables. It was out of aperture, like Saving Private Ryan. It was kind of jiltery. It was very graphic and very fast-paced, because that's how 8-year-old males think. Duh.
Right.
What the child called it, I mean, 99% of people, they couldn't put it down.
I couldn't put it down. I read it like 2 days. And
it's the number, it's the fifth most popular
book. It's 3 o'clock in the
morning. It's the fifth most popular book in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind To Kill a Mockingbird and Mice and Men for the last 7 years, by the way. Thank you. No advertising. If you have a good restaurant, they care about it. Everything they put in there, the parsley, the bread, the oils, and it's done so well, so, done such a way. And, you know, and we got lucky. And it's, publishing is a very funny business. There's, you know, it's almost impossible to get published, because when I teach publishing, especially in nonfiction, you have to be the Schwarzenegger, Oprah Winfrey, Lance Armstrong of ABC. Well, Dave, I was abused too, and they need to hear my story. No, they don't. They want to see a Saving Private Ryan. They want to see a Braveheart. They want to see a Michael Phelps or Derek Torres, who says, you know, the next time I'm going to swim the Olympics, I'll be in menopause, but I'll still give you all my best. Ha, ha, ha. You see, everybody wants to struggle. And what can they learn from the struggle? A Child Called It was not about abuse, but about that little boy that didn't quit.
Right.
And everybody who reads that book, they put down the book, and the kids say, Mom, Dad, you're not Nazis. Michelle, I love you. Johnny, what are we fighting about? What's our problem? 9/11, what's our problem? You see, Mayor, how it all goes back to the DNA?
Absolutely.
The band of the hand. The book, whatever your book is or story is only your pinky.
So what's the one message that you would leave with either aspiring authors or authors who have a book?
Well, I say make something of yourself. Be a big fish in a small pond. John Grisham couldn't get arrested. It was kind of illegal, but as a aspiring attorney, he would take his books and put them in the trunk of his car and do signings in libraries and then sell the books from the back of his trunk. You got to work it. You see, he would talk about law or he'd talk about prejudice, and by the way, I have a story about that. The book is a brochure.
Mm-hmm.
The book is not you. You want to become Arnold Schwarzenegger and talk about bodybuilding or the greatness of America or have a business or do something. I do comedy. I do leadership training. I do all these things with young adults. I do like 5 or 7 things all the time, and the book is the brochure.
Yep.
You see?
Well, it's all – the one thing I just got about you is it's all about the mission. It's like you're so clear about the mission.
Thank you.
Anyone that will, you know, hear and perpetuate the mission, you're out there to contribute.
That's it. You see, the more – and it's about – and I'm not one of those feng of the shui. I'm not one of those guys. I'm a black and white meat potatoes guy. But I do know this, American world at large, there's an energy out there, karma, destiny, the power of the fools. Whatever you want to call it. And as we grow older, we know there's signs. I mean, a lot of people didn't like it. I love the movie Mel Gibson, Signs, Swing Away. Everything at a certain point of your life will be brought away for that one moment. That one moment you got to swing away against injustice, swing away to battle cancer, all the training you have, and maybe there's a car crash, and you're 58 years of old, and now you use your training to get the girl out of the car and stabilize her, she's bleeding to death, and 911, and take control and do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, and this is important, if you are righteous in your cause, you will prevail. If you're a good person, your time will come. Just be still and be ready for it. It's not about the book. Here's the thing, I want to get published. All right, get published. But I want to go on Oprah. Oprah, you don't call Oprah. Oprah calls you.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah always calls you. But you got to be a name. You have to contribute a message within a message. And if you get published, and of course you're not going to go on Oprah, your book will be on the bookshelf for 2 to 3 weeks. Weeks max. What do you mean, Dave? Because just like a movie, unless it's grossing, we got to pull it because we got more movies.
Right. So we got to put in the next round.
So now you're there for 2 or 3 weeks, and you don't have a name. You don't have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Obama. No one came to his rallies when he first started doing his thing. Then he got some press and blah, 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 and dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Exactly.
You know, that whole Jaws thing.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, look at me. I couldn't get arrested. Now it's like, oh, Dave, Dave, Dave. I mean, I got stopped in Baghdad.
That's amazing.
Dave. Oh, hello, my friend.
Okay, so, Dave, I got to ask you this question, because if I don't, my husband will, like.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're there in those early torturous years, he was going, well, why didn't he run away? Why didn't he hit her? Why didn't he do something? Why didn't he pick the knife?
Well, because he's thinking like an idol. I was a child, and I was raised that I was a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was brainwashed. And what's the one word, America, we did not say to our parents?
No.
Oh, my God, Mary just swore. Mary, we have to edit that out. Oh, my gosh. It was a different time period. Back in the day, Mary, our parents did not talk about sex, religion, money, or politics.
Yeah.
Now, have we talked about that already on your show?
Yes.
There are no bounds. There are no bounds. I'm going to be a minister here in a few weeks, and my first job as Minister Dave is I'm going to marry a couple.
Are you?
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this, but I'm a physical conservative, but a social moderate. I'm going to marry two lesbians. My Lord, jeez. The GOP, oh, Dave, you can't. Oh, shut up. Two people in love, God bless them, bless their hearts. You see, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I was brainwashed, and, you know, I didn't know. I always thought I'm a bad boy, I'm a bad boy, because you're brainwashed. That's all you know. I'm stupid, I'm ugly.
Yeah.
And then as you start to grow up, you start to say, well, there really isn't Santa Claus, and a little bird didn't fly on her shoulder and say, oh, he ate out of the garbage can.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like, oh. You know, everybody comes to that, you know, and that's why I figured out, you know, there's Houston, we have a problem. You know, and sometimes you look at yourself and say, now what the hell are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to, again, everything falls into place. It's about you.
Right.
What can you do today? I did a joke. I borrowed it from Robin Williams, the movie License to Wed. I say, you got to pray to make it today. You know, whatever your solace is, you go deep down inside. If you believe in a higher power, great. If you don't, God bless you too. But, you know, and you say, and be still, and quit blaming others. Because, oh, I hate my mom, I hate my dad, I hate my siblings, I hate my teachers, I hate Mary, I hate Dave. I'm going, aren't you the common denominator? DDD. I hate my friends, I don't talk to Michelle or Kelly or Billy, and hate my fiance, hate my husband, hate my child. Okay, bye-bye, Grandma.
That's supposed to be cool.
Yeah, you know, and you got to look at yourself.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
You don't get caught up in yourself either.
Yeah, well, and let me ask you this, because I know then you went through a period where you were kind of hard on yourself for not acting, and there was this, you know, you talk a lot about forgiveness. So, like, forgiving.
Yeah, you know, it's weird as, you know, I'm being Catholic, and I was upset a little bit. Like, what made me mad was, oh, Dave, you're New York Times. And I was the first author at the time to have two books on the New York Times bestsellers. I mean, Cracknow, I beat him by 1 week, and he was into thin air. And I felt guilty. Here I am profiting, of course, yes, of hundreds of billions of dollars from writing this stupid book when there's other people that have been to war, that have had a worse life than I do, and my siblings, they were still left in the care of my mom when I was in the bosom of social services foster care, and that was weird. I'd rather get recognized for finding the cure for cancer or saving a kid from a burning building, per se, and that was hard, the guilt thing.
Yeah.
Or you know, and I've always forgiven my mom because my mom was a victim of abuse, and she never had rights as a woman and therefore couldn't purge what was deep in her heart.
Yeah.
It was a different time period. I totally forgive my mom. She's resting in peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm at the stage where, I mean, I remember when I got knocked out by the New, they tried to knock me out by the New York Times, and I got a call from someone from London. He's with the Nobel Peace Prize Commission. He says, you know, we know who you are and keep your faith. We got a call from Hollywood from an A-list actor, and Tommy's people said, you've just been baptized. Keep up the good work.
Oh.
And that's when I kind of learned, you know what, you find out who your friends are, because my life or my job is about integrity. When I teach human services, social service, psychology, I have to have integrity. I work at times with FBI. I work sometimes with local law enforcement. I do in-service training. It's about integrity. You'll never find me in public in a photo cigar in front of kids. Off-duty, if I'm alone as an adult, yeah, I'm not going to drink in public. You carry yourself a certain way. It's about integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Lead by live. You live by leading. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, these people are insinuating. But, you know, I'm at the point, too. My wife at the time, Marcia, says, you know, with all the nuclear weapons this gentleman had at his disposal, why didn't he just launch him? Come out and say I am a liar. Come out and say I'm a bad person. Come out and say I made it all up. Come out and say I wasn't on the New York Times. You know, and part of it's true. You got to know who you are and stand up for what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a level of learning. Can I say that again, America?
Yes.
There's always a level of learning. You've got a good golf swing. Now I'm going to move your chin a quarter of an inch. Release that wrist. Just half a second later, wow, look at the ball fly. Refine. Tiger Woods a few years ago. I couldn't believe how everybody, we love Tiger, we love, the press was all over him. Then he took like a half year off to work on his golf swing. And then he came back, he is a loser, he is. I'm going, oh, you guys built him up. Now you guys break him down, and then he wins back to back to back. We love Tiger. I'm going, oh, come on. Shut up. You know, like me because you like me. Come to my restaurant, I'll give you a good meal, I'll shake your hand, I'll give you a free glass of wine, blah, blah, blah. Come to my radio show. Come to Mary's radio show. Buy my book if it can help you out. Great. If not, it's okay. It's okay. Like me, hate me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The world's not going to end. Can we say that again?
Yes.
The world's not going to end.
Right.
I'm sorry if you're going through a bad divorce. I want you to remember those good times. Work through it as best you can. Get a good support system. I'm sorry if you didn't have a good childhood. I'm sorry if you had an amazing, incredible loss. I will put you on the prayer list. But again, at the end of the day, I want you to be happy, and you deserve to be happy. Eat all the bloody Haagen-Dazs you want. Just mix in the Slim Fast, because it all works out in the end.
Mm.
Work hard, but have some frickin' fun. Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Well, and I know one of the other themes that runs throughout many of your books is that you used to be a pretty good people pleaser. And
yeah.
I have a feeling we have a lot of perpetual people pleasers on the line.
I mean, I didn't know this, and this was really sad. I had Marsh and I divorced because she wanted to live in Georgia, and she worked for me in this field. You cannot work and have an intimate relationship. It doesn't work out, and I want to stay in Cali. And we still love each other. We're the best of friends, and you know we had our ups and downs. And my new director comes in, and she was like Marsh's assistant. And we had our first official meeting, and she says, am I your director? I said, yes. Can I tell you anything I need to tell you? I says, oh, yes, sister, you fire away. And she says, okay, shut up and quit chasing your mom's approval. I'm going, what? You saw that? Duh. You got to quit chasing your mom's approval, your dad's approval. You just got to, you know, and that's part of it, too. And it's a hard lesson. It really is. And I'm still learning that lesson of all the lessons.
How do you give that one up?
I'm still working on that one. To make it today. I don't know. A little bit at a time. I lose an ounce at a time. I save a quarter a day, you know, little by little, you know, because I thought if I do this, my mom will love me. And if I do this, the Air Force will like me. If I do this, everybody will blah, blah, blah. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, it's like, oh, I love that, but I'm a diabetic. Can't do it.
Mm.
You know, you got to take it. You know, my friends of Bill, one day at a time. One day at a time.
Mm.
You know, some people look at the big picture. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Mayor. I really don't. I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. And that was a big thing for me. When I was married to Mara, I knew exactly when I was going to eat, how we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, how I'll walk the dogs, when I'll do this, when I'll do that, when we can have time off, when we can even make love, or when we go on vacation. Oh, please. And then we're 2 minutes off. Oh, my God, I'm getting all spinny here. You know, let it happen, man. Can
yeah.
I say that again, America World at Large? Just let it happen.
Mm.
Hello.
Well, and what do you have to say for, you also talk about leadership within and really tapping that there's a lot of people who have great gifts to offer, and they actually know it, but they aren't doing anything about it.
Step up. Step the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in this day and age, you know, with the economy not doing well and a lot of good people are not doing well. If you've got a gift, use it. And, you know, and that's their business. I'm Will Rogers meets Clint Eastwood. America's great, and, you know, this is a time of challenge and struggle, but you know what? Struggle is good and challenge is good. And I think when it comes to leadership, you lead by living. You lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not lay down with thy prostitutes. Hey, honey, bunny, how much you want for an hour? We're tired of that trash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And these P. Diddy's, how come the Queen has invited the Diddy to the P. to the Sean to the low to Buckingham Palace? P. Diddy, sir, Sean, you're a rapster of the 80s. She's the queen. She's the queen. You're a rapster, dude, man, to the up. Come on. You know, I get so mad at these Polaris Hilton types.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Rwanda because I need to help out all the women. Rwanda's in Africa? Ooh, that's dirty. I can't do that. Shut up. What stops Paris Hilton from being an ambassador of goodwill at Hurricane Hugo's and say, we're going to own up all the Hiltons for all our homeless people and all our search and rescue people. It's okay. We can write it off. When you think of hotels, think of Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all those people. I think the classiest thing I ever saw in my life was Katherine Turner on a few days after 9/11. Hubba, hubba, hubba. She got legs up to her neck. And she was in a nice Chanel white dress serving soup. And these guys working 16, 18 hours. Oh, my God, you're Katherine Turner. You're so hot. Aren't you going to ruin your dress? It's only a dress, baby. It's only a dress. It's only a dress.
Mm.
You know, it's only for the now, the pain, the suffering.
Right.
You know, and you really have to dig in. It's like you give yourself little mantras. You know, you put something in your brain and go, 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 go. One stroke. It's only for the now. I helped this one kid. He didn't like his mom, and he was really fighting his mom, and one of his chores was to pick up dog poop. He hated it. Well, okay, the dog's going to poop, and if you don't pick it up, it grows and grows and grows, and it's really bad. So on that side, I started picking up the poop with the kid. I told him, it's only poop. Okay? It's only poop.
Mm.
What's the problem in America? See, it all goes back to the spin.
Well,
yes.
Well, how about just a final word? Your latest book is called Moving Forward.
Yes.
And what's the message that you most want people to take from that book?
Well, I think the message there is you don't have to be Arnold or Oprah or Rudy or Jack Welch to be a leader. If you're a single mom and you're working, you know, 18 hours a day and you're leading by living, you're telling your kids that work is hard and how important it is to get an education. If you're Janitor Joe and you take 5 buses to go to work and you work 12 hours a day, maybe you don't have a lot of money, but, boy, those floors are the best there is. You do what you can with what you have, and you just do the best what you got. That's all. And it's amazing, I'm not being braggadocious because I'm not a book plugger. I don't think that's proper, but everybody that has read that book, phone calls, faxes, emails, it's really, I think, making a difference. It really is, you know. And again, folks, go to the library and rent it or check it out if you want. You don't have to spend your hard-earned money. And that's the thing is, you know, I just want to make a difference in what I'm doing because you make it entertaining like this radio show or when you're doing a piece of music. That's the thing. People are very, I'm dry in radio. Leadership is about the articulation of Maslow's theory of the self-evident. Oh, shut up. You got to make it entertaining. You got to put it in a sound bite. You got to give them something they can walk away with right now. Right now type thing. But then that's what we did with the book. We talk about my past or my mistakes I made or my observations or stories within stories. Or sometimes I'm on my soapbox waving that finger saying, do better. Don't you quit. Come on. Buck up. You're a good person. God bless you, son. And that's what I think America needs. We need to know that this is only for the now.
That's right.
We talked about, oh, it's going to be $7 a gallon, $12 a gallon. Hey, 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 it's cool. It's cool, baby. $3.65. Is it going to go up next summer? Of course it will. But today's a good day.
Exactly.
Today's a good day.
Well said. Well said. Well, I am a book plugger, and I will be sending out an email to all those that are on this call and listen to it later.
Well,
to access,
thank you.
And I recommend buying all 7 of your books.
All the tomes.
And because it's really interesting having heard you live and then to read the story.
It's different, isn't it?
It totally changes.
It's
just like, holy moly, he's this and he went through that. It's like unbelievable.
Well, believe it, you know. And that's the thing, too. Everybody loves a good story. And, you know, I had an honor. I came back from Iraq a few weeks ago, and my son's 22. You know, he just knows it all. And surprisingly, he met me at the airport, and he hugged me. And he says, Dad, I'm really starting to get it. It's not about me. It's about others. And you know, and he said, I want to thank you for going out there and doing that. It's like, oh, my God, don't make me cry. You see, it's what you do for you know, it sounds very, you know, green pieces in a sense. But, you know, we're on this planet for a short amount of time. What can you offer right now today to make your world, let me say that again, to make your world a better, happier place?
Mm-hmm.
I say I recommend do 3 nice things a day. Open up the door for the old lady. Walk someone across the street. You've got $5. Give someone homeless a happy meal. Don't give them money. Give them a happy meal and a couple bucks. Smile at someone. Let them cut through the line. You got a baby, and I'm not that much in a hurry. And what it does, it gives you solace, and it grants you peace, too, because I'll say this before we end the program. My mother was going to kill me. There was never a doubt in my mind she would have killed me. But because others stepped into the fray, cowboyed up, and showed some leadership, my son is cancer-free.
Mm.
1 more year of college, criminal justice. He has a good love. He's a good young man. My son is cancer-free. And sometimes it takes time. It takes time.
Well,
but no change is possible. No change is possible. Unless, what is it that William Burke said? The only thing necessary in order for evil to triumph is for good men to stand idle and do nothing.
Oh, what a powerful statement.
Cornucopia of knowledge. Mary, we must do this again, my dear.
Yes, you know what? I would love to have you back. You know what? It has been a pleasure. I thank you for being the inspiration that you are.
I want to thank you folks for listening, and hopefully you wrote down some notes, and we brought you some solace and some happiness.
Absolutely. Everyone go forth, be happy, and keep moving forward.
All right. Let's do this again, Mary.
Let's definitely do, Dave. Thanks so much for being here.
Tell your hubby I said hello.
I will.
God bless you, hon.
Bye now.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Conversations with the Masters with your host, Mary Allen. If you'd like to participate in upcoming live conference call interviews, visit www.lifecoachmary.com. Transcripts and audio of previous interviews with such masters as Wayne Dyer, Carolyn Mace, Debbie Ford, Byron Katie, and others are available on iTunes or at lifecoachmary.com. For more information on the work of Mary Allen and upcoming programs, or to sign up for her free online newsletter, Soulfully Living, and to receive your daily gem, inspiring daily quotes, visit lifecoachmary.com. Thank you for being committed to your own personal and spiritual development, and thank you for spreading the word about Conversations with the Masters series. We wish you a fabulous day.